Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitab mubin. Praise be to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. Wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. I bear open this on testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that there is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ. In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ. We bear open this on testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad. Wa ala alihi and upon his family. Wa sahbihi and upon his companions, ajma'in. All of them, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم صلواتك سكان لهم الله سميع عليم صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is from chapter 9, inshallah, Surah 9, Ayah 103. And an expression of it is, O Muhammad, take from their wealth a charity by which you purify them and cause them increase and invoke Allah's blessings upon them. Indeed, your invocations are a reassurance for them, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. There's also a hadith that we like to bring in. And it is reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked his companions, do you think that if there was a river at the door of any one of you and he took a bath in it five times a day, would there be any filthiness left on him? They replied, no filthiness would remain on him whatsoever. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this is the example of the five daily prayers. Allah wipes away all sins through them. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the formal beginning. The last time we were here 2 weeks ago, we spoke of the back to basics. We talked about back to basics, sort of a kind of like a rewind, kind of an update to let us not forget what the main mission is of all Muslims for all times universally, and that is about building Ummah, and that what makes that building of Ummah possible is Buni al-Islam al-Khams. The structure of al-Islam is built on five essentials. So we just talked about just understanding that the overall mission is to build Ummah, and the principles are given to us for the purpose of being the source and resource for that development. And we have for months now, I don't even have to say weeks anymore, for months now, been addressing the daruri, the five daruri. Daruri are those things that are necessary. When we talk about the five pillars of Islam, we're talking about what's necessary for us to actually remain in our humanity. In order for us to remain in our humanity, we need to understand the difference between God and man, shahadate. We need to make salat, because that is a part of the worship. We'll speak more about that in just a minute, in connection with the main thrust for the day. Salat is necessary because of what it contributes, zakat is necessary for what it contributes, which is the core of what we'll be talking about today. Fasting, the same. Fasting teaches us self-restraint. Self-restraint is necessary in order for us to be in the right form, or the form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for us, or to realize the aim that Allah has for us. Self-restraint is necessary for that. And then Hajj, having as an aspiration to join universal humanity, putting it simply, have the aspiration to become one with all human beings all over the planet. Never lose that aspiration. Always have that aspiration, because in actuality, that is the goal. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah stated it, alhamdulillah, just so eloquently and simply. He said, the goal of our life is to move from small circles of identity to broader circles of oneness, right? But first you have to become yourself, which is what we talked about in one of the earlier segments under the daruri. So that is the basis. Now the daruri relates to this ummah building, The arkan al-Islam, the five pillars of Islam, is how you build your individual self, how you sustain your individual self. That's the arkan al-Islam. Now, the daruri, those things that are mandatory for building ummah, then these are the five that we've been talking about for actually months now. Because ultimately, if we don't understand these things and we don't apply these things, then we're really just marking time until we die. That's all. We're just doing something. You know, every bit of every, all activity is not progress, right? So the point is, what are the daruri? The way that I use a memory device for that is F-I-R-S-P. So you can spell first, but just change the last letter to a P instead of a T, and you have the English transliteration of those five things that are necessary as the foundation for ummah, right? Arkan al-Islam, individual. Ummah, the daruri, which are family, intellect, religion, the self, meaning your own mental, spiritual, psychic state, the self, and then property. So we've covered the four in previous segments, in the previous month, I'll say, and we are just beginning the last, which is mal, or property, and what role that has to play in it. I don't know how many weeks this is going to be, Allahu A'lam, but let us begin. So the first place, that the connection between that arcanal Islam, the arcanal Islam, and this daruri of man, arcanal Islam and the daruri of man. So the arcan is saying, for this particular part, zakat. Zakat is the foundation of our wealth. Zakat as a Muslim and in the Muslim life and in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has structured it, the role that it is to play in our material life, the first order for the foundation of the ummah's material life is in the life of the individual who practices zakat. So the individual needs to practice the zakat, but the project of building ummah requires zakat. So in actuality, I didn't state the actual title that I'm using for this khutbah. It is why we need zakat by nature. Why we need zakat by nature. I know there are reflexive ways that when we hear that we need zakat. So immediately you may think that, yeah, the masjid needs you to bring some money for the general treasury. It's not meant that way. What it means, why we need zakat, that's what, as human beings. We need zakat as human beings. Don't think about the institution. Think about yourself and why Allah made that an obligation. Later on, of course, that's a part of the institutional requirement, but there's something that has to happen inside of us as individuals, that we have the right relationship with zakat as Allah has ordered it, without all the other stuff that we may reflexively or in a knee-jerk kind of way respond, zakat, give some money. Don't stop it. Just stop thinking about it. Think about your nature and think about the objective of building ummah. So let's go on. So why we need zakat, and we need it by nature. Just to repeat, repetition is the mother of learning. Just to repeat, the five pillars are what is necessary in order for us to remain human. Find a human being that doesn't practice any of those pillars, and you haven't found a human being. Not the pillars as practiced in al-Islam, if they don't have the principle involved or with respect for what they actually stand for. There's a value. Making the distinction between God and man is a value. Recognizing that you should worship that God that you've identified is a value. Recognizing that you should give and restrain yourself from greed, et cetera, is a value. And again, the self-restraint as relates to guarding and controlling your own impulses and urges is a value. And also wanting to be a part of and recognizing the universality, the oneness. There's only one species, human species. There's only one type. When you embrace that, that's a value, right? So all those values. So whoever embraces those values in totality, alhamdulillah, they're most excellent. Whoever embraces some of them, a little bit of them, they're better. But if you find someone that embraces none of them, you're not dealing with a human being at all. So what Allah has done, put us in a position to establish and maintain and realize our original humanity. And that's really the name of our way of life. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayh. The fitr is our original human nature. So we need zakat by nature. The nature of life for human beings calls for zakat. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us in this report, that if there's a river flowing in front of the door and you bathe in that river five times a day, will there be any filthiness, any uncleanness? No, there will be no filthiness, no uncleanness. So you got purified by that, right? So when you take a bath, right? When you take a bath, literally bathtub bath, right? Okay. Tub's full, you washed off, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, then you get out of the bathtub, you let the water out, what's left? Inshallah, a ring around the bathtub, right? What is that? That was what was on you before you took the bath. That was what was on you before you took the bath. So when we take the bath, we are getting rid of impurities. right? When we make salah, we are getting rid of impurities, whereas they are not physical impurities, they are spiritual impurities. So this is one thing we should understand, that you also get dirty spiritually. You get dirty psychically. And we need to take spiritual and psychic baths. And Allah, in fact, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Isra wa Mi'raj, when he first got the order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you need to make 50. You need to do 50, right? God is saying, look, I know how many you really need, all right? And so by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom of encouragement, I'll call it, of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, they can't do it. I've been there. I understand. So the prophet went back. Allah reduced it. He reduced it. He said, then Moses, no, go back. Nah, I can't go back and ask any less than that. So the Jews, I want to honor. I was just trying to respect when I say the Jews. Sometimes when you say Jews, there's a negative sentiment among, unfortunately, too many Muslims. So I didn't want it to be taken as any kind of sacrilegious attitude toward Jews. So the point is that the Jews have three prayers a day. I believe it's the Orthodox. They have at least three prayers a day. We make five. And so that is God telling us you need to take a bath five times a day. You need to take a bath five times a day. What bath? Spiritual bath. Because there's some uncleanness that has come upon us. I think about this too. We're going to move on, not get into too much interpretation today. You have five. You have five prayers. You kind of think about the rationale, a rationale for five. And five times a day. Because there are five avenues through which you can sin. At least, I know there are many more, right? Time between one prayer and the other, you sin with your eyes. Sometime between prayer and the other, you sin with your ears. Sometime between one prayer and the other, you sin with your tongue. Sometimes between one prayer and the other, you sin with your flesh. Sometime the other, whatever I left out, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's your nose. All right? And that would include getting into somebody else's business. That's the sin of the nose, they call it, being nosy, right? So five daily prayers also represents a purification on all planes through which we can commit sin. And really, that's where the sin comes from. The sin comes from following the impulses and urges, the undomesticated, unredeeming urges of the flesh in some way or the other, and I include the five senses in that. So what prayer does, it discharges spiritual waste, right? Because there's sin or mistake or error, shortcomings that come, as we already said, through those five senses. But then also, categorically, we can also see that there are spiritual shortcomings, sins, and their material shortcomings, sins as well. So what prayer does, it discharges the spiritual waste, like the ring around the bathtub or the filth that goes on down the river. And what are the sources of this filth? Temptations of pride, arrogance, making oneself, giving yourself a sense of self-importance or self-aggrandizement. All those, envy, jealousy, all those are sins coming from, or shortcomings that are coming from our own incapacity to control those matters in a given instant. And that's why prayer is waiting. Prayer is waiting so that you, oh, I need to get that off of me. Experiencing a moment of jealousy, experiencing a moment of pride, experiencing a moment of envy, experiencing a moment of self-aggrandizement, you know. When you, okay, well now you got to go take that bath. And prayer is what discharges the spiritual waste that arises from that. Now zakat and charity, but we'll speak to, we're mainly focused on zakat as one of the pillars of al-Islam and part of this natural process that first happens in the individual and then happens collectively for the group. In terms of how our wealth accumulates and becomes a resource for building ummah, but the accumulation of wealth comes from a collection of individuals who practice zakat, and now there's a general treasury. Now there's a public treasury. Now there's a way by which things can get done. Sadaqah is after that, and it's, of course, another subject. So when we talk about zakat does for us as human beings materially what prayer does for us spiritually. Zakat does for us materially what salat does for us spiritually, right? There are ways that there are negative relationships that we can have. Just like I said, I was saying, we can have negative relationships with our five senses in ways where we sin with our eyes, sin with our ears, sin with our nose, sin with our tongue, sin with our flesh, etc. Then those are mistakes. But those are psychic, spiritual mistakes, the way we're dividing them. The other side of it is, what about the material side of life? Greed is a part of our material mistakes, right? You get greedy materially. That's a material mistake. You get proud of your material possessions. You know, we used to say, I haven't heard it for a very long time, but most of us from the town and other towns like the town, you hear, see somebody roll up in a new car. That's you, man. That's you, man. Yeah, man, that's me. Is it really you? Or are you, and that's your car? So when you misidentify in your material wealth, that's a sin. That's an error. That's a shortcoming. And what zakat helps us do is get off of and out of that error, become detached. Not to an extreme, but you have to be. That's why Allah asked us for a little bit of what he blesses us with so that we can practice detachment. Allah does not invite us to practice complete detachment. No. Allah says, وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاهَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you the life that comes hereafter. You know, this is not the destiny. This is all going to end. The Prophet said, be in this world like a traveler. You just passing through here, right? So there's another place to go, and you want to prepare yourself and your place in that life that comes after this life. But then Allah in the same ayah, he says, but don't forget your share of the material world. Think about this. There's some people having conversation, the people outside, but then there are people who are on the inside of the wealth, acquisition, accumulation, possession in this world. They're having conversations about who might be the first trillionaire. That's a conversation that somebody's having. So in terms of what is your share, this is an important footnote to add right here, right now. My question to you, and we should ask ourselves, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, all the favors that he's bestowed upon us, and he asks us, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? In simple translation. And he says, and I have given you two gardens. I've given you two gardens. You can take it both ways. You can take it many ways. You know, the two gardens, one can be spiritual, another can be material. One can be the universe itself, and the other can be yourself. I gave you. You are a garden in and of yourself, and I've given you this universe as a garden as well. So understanding that this world, this life is a gift from Allah to all humanity, not some, all humanity. Question, and Allah told you, and a portion of it is yours. Ask yourself, how much? How much? How much of this universe that is a gift to all of us from Allah, how much of it is yours? And are you going after it? This is what Allah said. Allah says, وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاهَ. Go after it. The life that comes hereafter. But don't forget your share of this world. So I think that's a good calculation to make. Okay, how much of this is mine? All right, let me see. See how much I can get. Get as a cat off of it and see how far that goes. That's what we should be doing. So what the cat does, it purifies our material self in the same way that our spiritual self is purified by Salat. It purifies our wealth and causes us to grow. See, because when Allah blesses us and everything that we get and that we have, it is a grace from Allah. He said, I made this money. Okay. On first order, you did. But on the deeper level, Allah just loaned it to you. Allah just said, here, take this with you. There's more where that came from. Take this with you. But it's only going to come once you give what is due to my work in the world, Allah's work, my will in the world. In 3D space and time, it takes money to do that. Okay, so look, God talking to us. Look, I'm going to give you this. But now don't you forget to give up the part that's supposed to be helping for building ummah. Now, if you say, look at what I got. And then you don't give your part. You just putrefied. You just poisoned everything else that you have. Because it shouldn't be there. You have to give Allah his right in your wealth because it's all from him anyway. All of it. It's a deception to think that look at. No. Allah made that possible. And what we have to do is give from it what we are obligated to give from it to do what? In order to purify what remains. So the material shortcomings and impurities that come as a result of the nature of material life is greed for power, you know, the idea to have power and control over others, for example, the lust for power, and attachment to things. Here's another report from the Prophet that's thought of. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in a group, and he said, whoever has an atom's weight of pride in them will not see paradise. And then somebody in the group, you can imagine, I know. It's like so-and-so. He loves his shoes and he loves his clothes. So he's automatically trying to indict somebody because, you know, they want to look fresh in old language, you know. Then the Prophet said, no, that's not it. He said, in response to that person, he said, no, Allah is beautiful and he loves the beautiful. So beautifying yourself is a nod to God. Let's put it that way. Right? God, how you like this? It's good? It's good? Thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillah, you made it possible. Alhamdulillah. Right? So then the Prophet said, no, Allah is beautiful and he loves the beautiful. Pride, listen, please. Pride is holding another person in contempt. You know, you have this idea, you know, if you say one more thing, I'm going to hold you in contempt. Just, I know none of us ever had that experience, but if you say one more thing, we're going to hold you in contempt. Contempt of court. Contempt of court, meaning that you can't act like you in charge of stuff here. You have to act in a way that respects the judge or the system that is the authority here. You can't say and act like, no, you're smaller than me. That's what you're saying. In the contempt of court, you're saying, y'all's rules, y'all's system, y'all set up, you're smaller than me. I'm bigger than this. When you hold another person in contempt, that is to say, you're not as good as me. You're not as much as me. You're not equal to me. You're less than me. If you have any of that in you about another person, you will not see paradise. And material life has the tendency to give us that attitude if we don't keep it in check. So even as we grow in material life, we must take the zakat off of it. in order not to be poisoned by the pride and by the arrogance that is potentiated in all wealth. All wealth has this potential sharr, this potential harm. All wealth, you know, I put it this way, just to get started with the understanding, all money ain't good money. Have you ever heard that? All money ain't good money. Everything that glitters ain't gold. That's wisdom in there. Because you recognize that there's a potential fault, a potential harm in all wealth. And Allah has given us a way to purify our wealth. And what that means is it purifies us so that we don't become subject to the force of that harm in our life. But if we neglect the zakat, then what that does, it putrefies us as an individual. Listen to what the Quran says. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا. Says, surely he succeeds and grows who zakaha, who gives the zakah of it, who purifies it, who causes it to grow. And you cause yourself to grow by giving what is due from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. And when you do that in practice, then what it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give us more. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَكِنَا عَزَابُ النَّارِ آمِنَهُ. الله أكبر. Bismillah. So, topically, we're speaking to why we need zakat by nature. The nature of life calls for us to have zakat. And so Allah has given us a way of life that matches our nature. And Allah speaks of it in Surah Al-Bayyinah. He says of it, وَأَكِمَ الصَّلَاةُ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةُ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا. That is the way of life, right and straight. What? Salat and zakat. Abu Bakr, he was found by Omar on occasion. He said, I'll fight them. Omar said, who are you talking about? He said, I'm fighting those who failed to do what they did in the time of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Omar said, did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that once one declares she had attained that his life, his blood, and his character, his person is free from any threat from another Muslim? Abu Bakr responded, said, nevertheless, if they make a distinction between zakat and salat and zakat, I will fight them. And Omar submitted, he said, then I understood that Allah had given Abu Bakr a better understanding in the matter of fighting than he had given to me. Abu Bakr understood this. Salat and zakat are two wings of one bird. You can't fly with just one wing. You have to have both. And remember, Abu Bakr was individual. We were already at the state. We as Muslims. We were already at the state of Ummah. Madinatul Munawwara had been established, is there, is existing. Ummah was existing. Now Abu Bakr felt the responsibility, had the responsibility to maintain the Ummah. So when people stopped doing, they're called the Ridaa Wars. When people stopped doing what they were doing in the lifetime of the Prophet, which established and maintained the Ummah in the time of the Prophet, and then when they stopped doing it, after the Prophet passed, and Abu Bakr said, this is something to go to war about. Because you're trying to take us back to zero. You're going to stop praying and you're going to stop paying zakat. You're trying to kill the Ummah. You know, Abu Bakr, you want to kill me first. And then when Omar got with him, you know, the rest is history, literally, right? So, alhamdulillah, the responsibility for zakat by nature as it relates to this overall universal mission of building Ummah is critical. So my object right now is to simply reinforce the nature of the necessity for zakah as it relates to each of us as individuals. So that I pray for everybody, myself included. It's like, if you take too long to understand this, and you die before you understand it and practice it, not good. One example that may be an encouragement from the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, in the life that comes after this life, the zakat that you don't give will, in the life after this life, take the form of a giant, bald, black, poisonous snake with two dots as eyes. And that snake will wrap the individual up and face him saying, I am the zakat that you withheld. I mean, what do you want to say? Oh, man, that's fairy tale, man. Okay. You can go on with that, okay? And again, Allah asks us for little in all instances, but particularly the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you do master that. You do as much as you are able to do. And he said, Allah loves the thing that's done consistently, even though it may be small. See, it's about the habit. It's about the habit, because your habits make you who you are. The Prophet said, the one who lies, he lies until he's established in character as a liar. And the one who speaks the truth, he speaks the truth consistently until his character becomes a truthful person. And the Quran tells us the one who saved from their own covetousness, they are the ones who have indeed achieved the supreme achievement. Here Allah is telling us, if you can just get over your own grasping, desiring, attached mindset to this material world and what it seduces you with, if you can get over that, you won the game. Game over. Allahu Akbar. But the idea is, well, that's what the practice of zakat is for. The practice of zakat is a regimen. Yeah, okay. I know I need to hit the gym. I went to the building and I punched it. Yeah, I hit the gym. That's the best I can do for a human right now. So the point is just understand this. So here's a simple way in nature to understand the nature of it as well. Something that you can get your literal head around, inshallah. And it's this. Salat purifies the spiritual shortcomings. We talked about that. Zakat purifies the material, the shortcomings that come as a result of being a material being, right? And life in material existence. And it's this. Here are my illustrations. We're talking about why zakat is necessary by nature. Okay, so what do we do by nature? In the course of building ummah, those impulses and urges that are instincts that I just talked about, jahiliyyah. We talk about jahiliyyah, right? There was a time in the prophet's life where the masjid wasn't as formal, nowhere near as formal as it is, such that someone coming to the masjid may even urinate in the place where the salat is actually being made, right? And that happened on an occasion. And the companions wanted to stop the man, but the prophet said, no, let him finish. Y'all know what happened to me. He stopped me. What are you talking about? Man, why y'all messing with me? He ain't finished. You understand what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, it was going to be just right there, right? But now since he's fighting everybody, I'm sorry about that image. But the point is that the prophet said, okay, let him finish. And then go get some water and pour it on the place where he was. And then teach him. This is not what we do here. You do that somewhere else. Okay? That was a civilization process. They were savages. They were burying their girl children alive. And all the other things that went with that. Go look at Jephthah's speech to the Najash when they came to try to bring them back from Habeshi to Mecca. And Jephthah talked about all the things that were going on. One of the things that always sticks with me is that we used to eat carrion. Carrion. You know what carrion means? It's rotten. It's not just roadkill. It's rotten roadkill. That used to be the food of those who didn't have the wherewithal for other than that. Right? So I'm just trying to get to how savage were they? How uncivilized were they? Okay. But what happened in order to become civilized? In order to become civilized, you have to suppress those urges, those instincts, those impulses that are unredeeming in society. Right? So in that process of constructing oneself on the right order of things, then what you have to do is you have to suppress those things that are not healthy and socially redeeming and civilized. My question, and I want you to think about what I'm saying, where do those suppressed impulses go? Okay? You got a child. If there was a child in here, let's imagine a child bouncing off the wall. Okay? And then you finally get the child to sit down and be quiet. And they do that. They sit down and they are quiet. Go inside of them. What do you think is going on inside of them? And what do you think is going to happen as soon as we say, they're gone because we got to open that door and let them hit that backyard because they need some release, right? So this is the point I'll finalize with this, is that as civilized as we are, the only reason that we are as civilized as we are is because we have suppressed urges and impulses that we know now unredeeming, that we know now are uncivilized. But here's what you might need to understand. You do need to understand. They are still within you unless you have a process, a system, a practice, a ritual that empties the garbage. In your house, in our houses, we eat food. You finish dinner, scrape, 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 put it in the garbage, put the dishes over there. Now imagine the garbage is there. So you've gotten the garbage off the plate, but now garbage, used to be food right there. Now it goes food, garbage. So it's there, dishes. So now imagine dishes piling up, garbage can not being taken out of the house, garbage not being taken out of the house. Something's got to be done. And imagine if you take the garbage out of the house, wash the dishes, but then you don't have a catchment for the material that comes off the dishes and nobody comes by to pick up the garbage. What does that do for the city? What I'm hoping that you're grasping from what I'm saying is that it's civilized to put your garbage in the garbage can. It's civilized to get your dishes ready for being cleaned, et cetera. But it's also civilized to get rid of the waste. Okay, inside of each one of us, there are things that we have controlled and we've restricted and we've disciplined ourselves with regard to, so that's inside. And I'm saying that is garbage that you and I have controlled. But if we don't practice Salat and we don't practice Zakat, then those things still build up in us. Because of Salat and Zakat is emptying the garbage. It's waste management. If you don't believe it, find somebody who doesn't practice prayer or Zakat, and I say, that's what I'm talking about. So when we experience from people, You Muslim, right? What's all this? It's probably the absence of Salat and Zakat. They just got the front. You look like a Muslim. Kufi is tight. Beard is groomed. You thobed up, whatever the case may be. But your character, homie, your behavior, your attitude, your language, your etiquette, or the lack thereof, suggests that you just might be frontin'. So the idea is to practice these practices so that we can do waste management. We can get rid of the psychic waste that comes even from disciplining ourselves to become better people. You're not done when you hold the face or the presentation. You're done when you actually get rid of what's in us that came in the course of building up that discipline, building up that character, because it naturally generates waste. And if you don't control it, in turn, like someone who's a hoarder, in turn, you're not going to have any living space. Spiritually, you won't have any living space, because what should have been taken out with the garbage, now you're living in it. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك وعهدك ما افتتحت أعوذ بك من شر ما افتنيت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Father, we thank you for our creation. We thank you for what you have blessed us with. Oh, Allah, bless us with the heart, the spirit, the mind, the intention, the motivation to give to your cause in the world for the building of Ummah. Bless us, oh Allah, to purify ourselves from our spiritual and material toxins. Oh, Allah, bless us to practice the way of life that will help us to become greater aids and dispensers of your will in the world. We beg this of you only for none can grant it with holders but you. Ameen, Allahumma, Ameen, wa akim of salat. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله توه استقيم يحمكم الله وثابكم الله may God roll straight and evenly no space between your shaitan divided as well rolls on straight hearts on agree الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترؤونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. الحمد لله. So, mashallah, your next families or whatever, you may just don't start conversations on the floor. I'll make a couple of sounds. No, okay, none in particular. Okay. Alhamdulillah, here is the movement class. That's every Saturday, right? So, okay, alhamdulillah. We have a fine specimen right here. Who will give me 500 more? The physical fitness trainer, Ibrahim Shaheed, and holistic health. And, well, oh, she's not doing her part on Saturday. She doesn't do anything on Saturday. Okay, so he's helping us get more physically fit. Physical fitness trainer, Ibrahim Shaheed, that's every Saturday at 12 noon. I'm not going to see you tomorrow, but I'm going to see you. The what? You're both there. Okay, so it's a tandem operation. So every time I see one, I see the other. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Muslim movement. Now, that's a movement right there. So alhamdulillah, see any other flyers and announcements for this as well, okay? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hold on, listen. I know. Okay, I'm not going to do anything with that. Oh, you turn it off again. Give it the wrong one. Turn it off. Okay.